May the written word and the spoken word lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas. And I love this service. I love this 11 p.m. service. This was my first taste of the Anglican Church, actually, was this very service many years ago. I love Christmas for so many reasons. One of them is that it is a time of escape. Many of us get at least a little bit of time off work. I mean, James, not quite yet, but it's coming. Many of us get to spend quality time with family. We have set aside our diets for a day or two, or three. We spend more money, and we're happy to pay for it in January, and think about that later. And so we're getting this break, we're getting this escape, and all of these things can be good. It is important to feel that sense of freedom from time to time. We all need a holiday, a Sabbath, a vacation from our problems, as it were. But if we're not careful, our desire to escape from the harder aspects of our reality can give us the wrong idea about Christmas, and perhaps about Christianity as well. There are many who suppose that the whole idea of religion is to offer an escape from the day-to-day challenges of our lives, that through prayer and acts of devotion, we can sort of trick ourselves into thinking that all is well, when really it's not, that we escape our physical world into a spiritual one. Karl Marx famously took a kind of a position like this when he called religion the opiate of the masses. And in his conception, religion was sort of a pleasant spiritual illusion which served to take people's minds off the hard realities of their physical material troubles. But this view of religion is certainly at odds with what is described in the Christmas story. The accounts of Mary and Joseph and Jesus are not the least bit escapist in any of the Gospels. They are distinctly real world. If we think even just as an example of Luke's Gospel, the birth narrative in Luke begins with this declaration of a new Roman tax, which results in significant cost and inconvenience for ordinary citizens. I don't think it gets a lot more real world than taxes, does it? It tells of a young couple in a very conservative culture who are expecting a child but not married. One scholar I read speculated that one of the reasons Joseph may have taken Mary with him to Bethlehem was to save her the shame of going through her third trimester in a place in which her situation was well known. I don't think it gets a lot more real world than that. The birth narratives in the gospel share a tale of homelessness, of an infant being born in a truly terrible situation, in terrible conditions. It doesn't get more real world than that. It describes shepherds watching their flocks at night, agriculture workers who are on the night shift. It seems wherever we turn in any of the gospels, we have this real experience of real people. It's not an escapist account. It is as real world as it is possible to be. And if we will read the Christmas story carefully, we can feel the grit on our hands and feet. We can smell the animals. We can see the poverty. We can sense the uncertainty, even the anxiety. And so it is so important for us to remember that the Christmas story speaks to us in the real world, especially during those times that we don't feel very much like celebrating. It speaks to us when we find ourselves unable to escape our troubles, when we're having financial problems, when we're having relational problems, when we're facing illness, when we have suffered through the death of a dear loved one. Christmas speaks year-round to real-world conditions. As Timothy Keller says, traditional religion says salvation is escaping out of this world into the kingdom of God. But the gospel of Christmas is that salvation is the kingdom of God coming into this world. Traditional religion says the world is bad, but the gospel is that the kingdom of God is here to rehabilitate this world, not to save us into some ethereal paradise. And our reading captured it beautifully. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, that we might see the glory of God. In the Christmas story, we are not escaping the world. God is embracing the world. And when we understand this, we can live in the real world, in the midst of our challenges and problems, with a good deal more joy and more confidence. It's not an accident that so often when an angel shows up in connection with the Christmas story, his first words are, "Do not be afraid." The angel shows up to announce the birth of John the Baptist and says, "Do not be afraid." Gabriel shows up at the Annunciation and says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." The angel of the Lord shows up to the shepherds and says, "Do not be afraid." This is the message that we need in our time. Our modern world is racked with anxiety, and some would say it's getting worse. I happened upon an article in the Irish Times, of all places, and it was reporting on a study which examined 19,000 Irish young people between the ages of 12 and 25. And it found that since 2012, the number of 12 to 18-year-olds experiencing severe anxiety has doubled from 11% to 22%. And among the 18 to 25-year age bracket, it had risen from 15% to 22%. And it's a bit of a mystery, because the rates of bullying are down over the same time period. The level of stress about finances is down. Rates of alcoholism are down. And so researchers are confused about what's causing this. The study has found a clue and has taken sort of a tentative stab at a possible solution. It found that people spending 3 hours or more online are more likely to be anxious and more likely to be sleep deprived. And the study speculates that this may help explain a pervasive drop in levels of self-esteem, of optimism, of life satisfaction. Now, I don't wish to leave the wrong impression. I am cautiously pro-technology and very much pro-information. I use the internet frequently. As you may have guessed, I read the Irish Times story online because they're not delivering to my neighborhood anymore. But it strikes me, it kind of makes sense that large amounts of unstructured time online may be the latest in a long string of attempts by we humans to escape our problems, to escape from our real world struggles. And it doesn't work. It never works. We can spend hours on the internet. We can abuse alcohol or drugs. We can work too much or shop too much or eat too much. And when we are done, we are still left to face the real world and our real world problems. And here is how the Christian Christmas gospel helps us. The beautiful message of Christmas is that we do not face the real world alone. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We are never alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And if it is true that we are never alone, then the words of the angels, "Do not be afraid," are full of substance. They have backbone. And I believe that Emmanuel, God with us, I believe that the Word became flesh. I believe that those truths are powerful enough to defeat the malaise and the anxiety of our time. This is the good news of great joy for all of humanity, for all of time. There is a God. That God loves you. His favor rests upon you. And that makes the universe a fundamentally friendly place, despite the pain, despite the struggle that you may see and that you may feel. And just to prove it, just in case we doubted it, God sent Jesus to live in the real world. He was born in the worst of conditions. He was raised under an oppressive government. He worked hard at his trade. He endured pain. He endured sickness. He even endured relational problems. The Bible tells us that at some points, some of his family members were actually not very supportive of him. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. He was rejected by some of his closest friends. Ultimately, he was executed. The real world threw everything that it had at him, and he didn't even try to escape. I certainly would have. He didn't. He endured it all. He overcame it all, even death. And this is beginning to sound like a preacher getting carried away. We're lapsing into Easter here. Come back in a few months and we'll finish this up at that time. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in the light of his presence with us in Jesus, God asks for something from us. He asks us to live our best lives. He asks us to live as we were designed and created to live, and he invites us to be courageous, to not try to escape, but rather to overcome. And of course, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this without his help. But God helping us, we can face the real world. We can face our fears. We can make a difference for the sake of the one who makes a difference for us. Thanks be to God.